Pleasure to be down here. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 2, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." As we look in the scriptures today, I want to talk to you on something very simple, on Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves me, this I know. As the childhood song goes, he said, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." I find here in Proverbs 2, where I just read to you, that it says, it talks to us about understanding, and then it says, "The Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." There's several ways you can learn how to do something. You can let somebody instruct you on how to do something, and that's always usually the best way. There's always the other two ways, and that's by your mistakes or my mistakes. You either learn from mine or you learn from your own. And if you watch me make mine, then you'd make your own just like it. That's not a good thing, by the way. We don't want to repeat the same old stupid things over and over, right? But we do know this. We want to find out what God wants us to know. As I studied the Bible in the past, I found out something, that the word "know," the first time it occurs in the Bible, the devil says it. He says over in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof," he says that, "your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." So the first time the word "know" occurs in the Bible, the devil tells two truths and one lie with it. And most lies are like that. They're wrapped, they're sandwiched between two truths. They tell me that if you're going to poison these rats and stuff, you put 98% grain, 2% poison, you surround it with good stuff and put one bad thing right in the middle of it. And that sounds just like the devil. He wants to surround everything, make it look true, put the deadly lie right in the middle of it. But the last time the word "know" is used in the Bible, Jesus uses it. He says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou art cold or hot." And I find out that when he uses the word "know," it lets us know that he does know. And he wants us to know some things as well. And he's gave us a Bible to know those things. Right quickly, I want to give you three of them. God wants us to know about creation. There's a lot of stir amongst folks about creation that that's not true. They say we come from a big bang and that there's two things in the middle of nothing collided, and all of a sudden we climbed up out of the slime or something like that, or some garbage like that. I tell them folks, and they try to tell me that, I said, "It sounds like you got a fairy tale for grown-ups, because none of that stuff's true. They have no evidence to back it up at all." I said, "In fact, yours sounds more like religion than mine does, because there's nothing to back that stuff up." I'm just old, plain old country boy. I went to Washington, D.C. This preacher had me preaching up there, and he wanted to take me to the mall. And we went to the mall, and I was shocked when we got to the mall in Washington, D.C. If you've ever been there, you know there's no mall there. It's just a big old patch of grass there and a field where they have stuff right there in front of the Capitol building. They didn't even have a Sears there. So I said, "I didn't see a sign. It was leaned up against me. I was leaned up in the sign tapping that thing." But I said, "But it's, whether I'm leaning up or not, it's still plastic." He said, "Come this way." Don't listen to him. Come this way. I thought, "You're going to tell me in a second this is a billion years old. I touch it, it's plastic, it's about 10 years old, and you're going to try to tell me to keep my mouth shut about it? Sorry. Get security and throw me out. There's a problem here." But that's not the first lie that's ever been told in Washington, D.C., is that right? So I got to thinking about that, and I thought, boy, what a crowd they have up there. But I found out something. They have no evidence to back up a thing they believe. They try to say the earth's billions of years old. I said, "Wait a minute, I got a friend, his name's Eddie Wallace. He works down there doing these oil rigs and stuff like that, welding on them and stuff. And I read a report one time, and next time he comes in town, I'm going to talk to him about this. There are trees they're finding in the Gulf of Mexico that are 70 and 80 feet tall, turned upside down and down in the mud and been there. How'd they get there? Well, we look at the rings on them. They're not but maybe 100, 200 years old, but they're not decayed and they're not fossilized. How'd they get there? A flood got them. I read about that flood in this book of the Bible called Genesis chapter 6. God says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, he wants you to know about creation because he says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." When God created the heaven and the earth, he done that, and then he gave us a book to tell us about it. He wants you to know about creation because he wants you to know about him. He introduces himself in the very first verse of the Bible, and he wants us to know about creation and know where we came from. We didn't come from the slime. We came from the Lord. The Bible tells us in that very same chapter, he created man in his own image. In chapter 2, he took man and took his rib out and made him a woman and blessed him and told him to dress the Garden of Eden and keep it. In Genesis chapter 3, that old devil shows up and gets him to fall into sin and gets us thrown out of the garden. And then we find out, we spend the rest of our time in the Bible knowing about creation and God testifying of that creation. Psalm 33 verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made. God spoke everything to existence. He never took thousands and millions of years to do it. He just spoke it and it happened. And he done it in the space of 6 days. And the Bible says on the seventh day he rested. He done that so you and I know this. We can't run 7 days a week wide open. We got to take a day off and rest. And he wants us to rest, and he wants us to put work in our life and then rest in our life. Second thing God wants us to know about is his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, verse 1, we find out a little bit more about that creation. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. So in Psalm 33, that Word that created everything is revealed to us in John chapter 1, verse 1, where it tells us about the Word. And then in verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. We look at him and we see him and we see what he is. He's God manifest in the flesh. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He come amongst us, born of a virgin. He's yet without sin. He was tempted like as we are, excuse me, but yet without sin. He's the Holy Son of God. And God wants us to know about Christ. There's a lot of people in this world today who don't know about the gospel, but they've heard of Jesus Christ. They know who he is by way of knowledge. They've heard of him, and the knowledge has been passed to them. The Bible tells us about Christ that he is the Holy Son of God. He's the Savior of this world. He's the one that gave himself for us, and he came and died an atoning death on the cross and shed his precious blood for our sins so that we might be saved. I'm glad, thank God, that somebody cared enough about me to do something for me that I could not do, and that's to bring salvation to a lost and dying world, in particular to me. I read a statement the other day that in Genesis chapter 4, when Abel brought that lamb forth, there was one lamb for one man. In Exodus chapter 12, they brought a lamb out and they had the Passover, and it was one lamb for one family. In Leviticus chapter 16, we find a lamb being given for the nation, and so for the Day of Atonement, so we had a lamb for a nation. So we started off one lamb, one man, one lamb, one family, one lamb, one nation. And John the Baptist baptizing out in the wilderness, he says, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. When Jesus came down, now we got a lamb that takes away the sin of the world. I'm glad, thank God, he wants us to know about Christ and wants us to preach Christ and him crucified. It's a good thing to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. But the last thing God wants us to know about, he wants us not only to know about creation, where we come from, Christ who can save us, but he wants us to know about conversion. When I read the word conversion and I see that, I always think of that stupid metric thing. Them conversion tables we used to have in school. What it is, you take one thing and you convert it and make it into something else. I done forgot what they all are and all that. I just know that centimeters and millimeters are not inches and feet. That's all I know. And maybe that system's better. I heard when I was in the first grade in 1976 that would replace our English measurements by the time I was out of high school. I've been out of high school 25 years and they still hadn't replaced the one that works. I noticed that when they try to replace that English standard on that thing, we've got English standards for everything around the world. We're heated and cooled by a British thermal unit. We've got an English keyboard on keyboards on computers in China, and there's more English-speaking people in China now than there are in the rest of the world combined. And as I look at that, God has used that and used that as a vehicle to let us know about conversion. And the conversion I'm speaking of is John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm glad he wants us to know about conversion. He don't want us to just know about Christ. He wants us to accept Christ as our Savior and be converted. And to be converted is to take something and make it into something else that's not like it previously was. I'm glad when Christ finds people that sinners, he saves them. And when he saves them, he makes them converts to him, and they're converted and they become different than they were before. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's so good to know that when Christ saves a sinner, they're not like they used to be. I read the other day that when he died for our sins, he died for all our sins. I'm glad to report to you today that when Christ died on the cross, everybody in this room's sins were yet future. When he said, come to me and be ye saved, all the ends of this earth, that saved is past tense. When you come to him, you get saved. It's a done deal. When he said, it is finished on the cross, there's no more payment to be made, no more work to be done. He's done everything that needs to be done. A fellow asked me, said, now, don't you think you can get out of that contract? I said, not at all, because everything, when he died for my sins, they were all yet future. He died for them past, present, and future. The only thing I'd have got to do is keep up, listen, and walk worthy of the Lord, and that don't have to do nothing to do with me keeping my salvation. That has to do with a relationship with God Almighty through his Son, Jesus Christ. So how do you get that? You get that through conversion. God, when we were born in this world, we were born with a body and a soul and a dead spirit, and when we get born again, God takes that dead spirit and he bursts it again from heaven. The Holy Spirit of God converts us, gives us a new spirit within us. That spirit can now communicate with God, but he gives us his Holy Spirit so we can have a way to communicate with him right where we're at, anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There was an article in a Bible study I read where a guy said, if you have trouble sleeping at night, and he quoted the verse over in the Psalms about the Lord giving songs in the night. He said, maybe next time that when you can't sleep at night, instead of sitting there posting on Facebook and worrying about everything under the sun, get down and start praying and let God just minister to you through prayer and give you a time in prayer. I said, amen, I believe that'll work right there, because there's nothing comforting at night no more than the Comforter, the Holy Spirit himself. And if you go to praying, he goes to praying. So how do you get like that? Conversion. God converts that sinner and makes him a child of God. He wants to talk with you and walk with you along life's open way. Now, while we're here today, if you don't know him as your Savior, catch one of us before we leave. We'd be glad to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. For the saved here today, I pray God will use you and help you and give you great strength and great grace to do everything he wants you to do. Let's pray. Father, we love you.